mornings. Gotta turn the microphone up. Saturday mornings. You guys ready to rock, Merced? Atwater, Livingston. How about El Nido? Come on! Gustine. LeGrand. Livingston. All in the same council district. Hard to believe, isn't it? Hey, you may be living somewhere where they're going to cut your fire protection. When I say they, the Board of Supervisors, because they just don't care, man. They just don't care. When I say that, it was like the former mayor got up there. We're not going to be able to play his comments. Mayor Murphy, City of Merced. He goes, you guys got the triple crown going. I call it the trifecta of failure. Absolutely unbelievable. Police, fire, ambulance service, all below subpar. Of course, what do you expect out of 58 counties? Guess where we are? That's right. Number one, dead last. If you're, you know, what do they call second place? The first place loser. That's what we are. The first place loser when it comes to fire protection. And who can you blame? Over there at 2222 M Street on the third floor of the Death Star. That's right. The BOS. Is it BOS? Anyway, the point being is your fire station next to your house could be closed. You know, it's like roulette. They're going to eviscerate McKee no matter what the plan is. They still need $1 million, but hey, you know who's really to blame? UC Merced, as far as McKee. UC Merced, and I couldn't believe Pedroso. Josh Pedroso made some pointed comments. I bet they took his name off the preferred parking out there. Anyway, let's go right to the board comments. It's going to be most of the segment. And hey, tune in next week. We're going to continue the fun with Sheriff Vern Warnke and the other shoe on the body of public safety that we can't fund because of the Board of Supervisors.
I don't disagree with a lot of what's being said here right now, but what we're working with now is what we're working with on with every department, and public safety is by far out front in what we're trying to work with here as a Board of Supervisors. What I do want to touch on, though, the last time that I was the chairman of this board, we were working with the city of Livingston. So this isn't new news to Livingston. In fact, if CAL FIRE gave the presentation in January, but my colleague here sitting here, who's the chairman now of the board, we had a handshake agreement with the city of Livingston. This board passed a revenue sharing agreement to go forward so they could move forward as well. But it never passed. And so for the people from Livingston here, just understand, we had a handshake agreement with them. It was going to move forward. But the City Council of Livingston never did pass it. My colleague and I spent a lot of time discussing this. And then it moved on to my next colleague. So to say that the county has never stepped up is completely false. I put a lot of time and effort into it. I gave a lot that I probably wouldn't give in negotiations to make it happen, just to make it happen. And my colleagues, we all supported it, 5-0. So I just want to make sure that that information's out there. We had a handshake agreement to move forward with that mayor and the mayor pro tem at that time, and it was never followed through with. And it's not because of Christopher. Christopher's done a great job. He was not the city manager at that time. So I just want to make sure that's known. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Supervisor Sobrano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A lot to unwrap there. I want to just thank everybody for coming out and expressing their concerns, because this does affect my district. And I know our meetings are over here in Merced, and so you don't see, I see the city manager from Dos Palos is here. And you know, as this news became out there in public, definitely field a lot of phone calls as to what's going on. A couple things that I want to just kind of, you know, that this isn't something that the county just made up and decided we were going to do. We've been talking about staffing issues and getting to 2-0 staffing for years now. I was a volunteer fireman for 20 years. We were working on plans to get to 2-0 staffing then. I felt like we had a plan. You know, the county contributed. It was I want to get to my notes here so I don't give you incorrect numbers. It was $2.9 million already. It was the first time in the history of having that fire fund that we've had to contribute general fund dollars outside of what goes into that fire fund. Councilmember Soto mentioned that, a few of the folks from Livingston mentioned part of that. And so as we thought we had a plan on how we're working there, we added those 12 additional bodies, I believe it was, to start to get us to that 2-0 staffing. And then the state came in and basically said, it was mentioned, we're the last contract in California to have 1-0 staff stations. And I completely agree that we live in a different world than we did before. Even if you go back in my time from 96 to 2016 when I was a volunteer fireman, the world has changed. people still hold regard firemen in the highest regards. If you do any kind of polling, the most liked people out there are firemen, right? But when you introduce mental health issues, drug addiction issues, you're getting called to a 911 call to come into that scene. Some people, all they see is a badge and they just want to take your head off, right? And so I get that. It is a safety issue to getting to 2-0 staffed. You know, one of the things that hasn't been mentioned is, I'm going to warn everybody by saying this, I feel like we have some level of confidence that we are going after a SAFER grant, and that SAFER grant would get us 15, I'm looking at, is 15 additional bodies, and that keeps Dos Palos and Livingston open, and it buys us 3 years to really work out plans. As we come up to budget time, we are now in the middle of budget, but departments have submitted their budgets. What I can tell you, it does not look good. It does not look good. And I'll remind everybody, public safety is a priority, and I know I'm going to get some pushback because they say, let your actions speak louder than your words. It's always been a priority for me. But what I can tell you is there's only so much of the pie. The pie is only so big. No matter where how we slice that pie, it's, and so when you're looking at you know, an option where you just stay status quo and it's $6.9 million additional coming out of the general fund, right? I heard the $1 billion, it's going to end up at $1.3 billion by the time we're all said and done on this year's budget when we get to actuals. Of that, there's $126 million of it is the discretionary part of the county, of this board that is completely discretionary. I want everybody to understand that. So you look at that number, and I'll even throw in the $70 million that is considered to be the fund balance. Let's call it $200 million for even number's sake, okay? Out of a $1.3 billion budget, there's $200 million of it that we actually have discretion over how we spend. No matter how much this board would want to, any of those programs that are state and federally mandated, we do not have the ability to spend them on anything other than what they've been mandated to do. So just, you know, it's easy to throw the $1.3 billion number out there, but I want folks to understand. So when you talk about a percentage of the $1.3 billion, there's $1.1 billion of that we have. We listen, where I'll say our control comes in is we hire the CEO who hires the department head that runs that. That's how we can hold them accountable to it. But the way that those dollars are actually expended, we don't have a lot of say in. And I want to just, because Livingston brought up some very valid points, and I want to highlight is when you talk about the amount of money that you're paying in the fire fund, the amount that was asked for you to for that additional body, you're looking at 60% of the calls are running the city, 40% are running the unincorporated. What you're forgetting to add into that is the overhead cost. But, you know, a battalion chief, the cost of when Livingston has a fire, Livingston, they have a great fire department, always had. They have some of the top responders in the county as far as the number of calls that their volunteers have. I've known Dave Bates for a lot of years. He's been volunteer fire chief there on and off for many years, involved in the Chiefs Association, and thank you for your service on that, Dave. But when Livingston has a fire, it's not just the fire truck from Livingston that's coming. You're bringing in resources from everywhere. I will tell you, this is not an easy decision. I will tell you, I know that it's been made mention because I say I don't sleep at night. Literally last night was one of those nights where you just, it's crappy. It really is. But when we're looking at a budget and already knowing that there's nothing else to give in there, the next steps are, in order to, if we were to just say, okay, look, we're gonna stay status quo and we're gonna come up with the additional $6.9 million to fund it, that means that we're cutting other places. I'll remind folks that, like I did at my town hall meeting, I get it. If you call 911 and you need a fire truck, that's your number one priority that day. But if you need one of those other services that the county provides, whether it's public safety in the sheriff's department, when you call and you need them, that's your number one priority for the day. There's other services that we offer as a county that for those folks on that day, it is a priority. And so trying to manage all of it and trying to come up with a solution, I wish I had better answers for you guys. I really do. I can tell you for my district, you know, we have this unique kind of relationship with my 58,000 bosses. The majority of them live within a city limits that has a city government that they also get to engage. And then I have the folks in the unincorporated areas that I'm their only local elected official that they deal with. And so I'm hearing from all of those folks and trying to make decisions that we can live with. I never have been and don't want to be in the business of spending money we don't have. So with that being said, I want to touch back on that grant. I think we have a certain level of confidence that we're going to get that grant, but I want to warn everybody that we may not get that grant, right? The applications are due, I believe it is April the 12th, which is a couple days from now. I know that we have applied for that grant. We're applying on behalf of the cities, the city of Livingston, the city of Dos Palos. We're applying for those grants. We've asked them for letters of support. Thank you guys for producing those letters of support on this. I know that our team has been engaged with FEMA on all the calls that says, okay, we weren't successful last time. What can we do this time to make our application better, right? So we go into it with some level of confidence, and that buys us 3 years, but there's no guarantee of it. And so I want to just manage the expectations on that. It's challenging. It's not a great day. And as you can see, you know, as mentioned before, we have public safety that is, you know, our sheriff's department and what's going on there. If you watched any of the town halls, you could tell that the theme is we have a lot of employees that are not happy with us. Healthcare rates are going through the roof, trying to figure out solutions on how we address those healthcare issues. It's all coming and all hitting us at the same time. And so any decisions that are made today, I know that they're not made lightly. I just want to portray that, and I think I speak on behalf of all my colleagues when I say that we don't take these decisions lightly, but we're also trying to still survive as a county. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Pereira.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How did we get here? In the last year of Governor Brown's last term as governor, he gave Cal Fire employees a 20% raise. It was 5% a year over 4 years. And when that happened, I said to our then battalion chief, Jeremy Ron, that Cal Fire just priced themselves out of the market. And so we started, you know, back when I went to Cressy, and we talked about closing the Cressy station. And that was a part of this, right? And not only the increase in the wages, but now the additional staff. Right. So Merced County has a fire fund. 100% of that is already being spent on wages. Right. So that doesn't include maintenance, upkeep, new equipment. Right. So it puts us in a spot. You go to the extra employees. Right. And so it just adds and adds and adds. It's a $6.9 million ask of a fund that is already 100% of it being spent. And so it's a difficult spot to be in, right? It was also mentioned sheriff's office, right? So we're in a spot where we're being asked to come up with 25 to 30% more money for deputies. We're also in a spot where ambulance is struggling, right? Our Medicare reimburses Riggs Ambulance $118 for taking somebody to the hospital. Well, that's under their cost. So we're at a spot where it's broken. As we know, and Chief Pimentel said, 85 to 90% of the fire calls are medical. So we've got fire on one side, we've got ambulance on another. And what I've been asking for is that we take a look at combining those two. I'm getting pushed back and I'm being told no. Well, to me, that makes sense, right? There's got to be a savings in having the same people that are responding. And I've been in accidents. I've been in fire trucks first one there. And so why wouldn't it make sense to have that person be an EMT or even be a paramedic? And so anyways, where are we? Here we are. We're out of money. And, you know, we're a spot where we're gonna have to cut county departments, and you got $125 million, that's where we're at. $6.9 million of $125 or $126 million is a big percentage, right? Just for one item, and I don't know if I was caught off guard today, but by the comment that we haven't been discussing this. This has been coming for about 5 years now, and we've talked about it. I've had conversations. You know, I went to the Bellico Cressy paid for call meeting the other. Well, I guess it was in February, and you know, we talked about it. So, but with that being said, if the public doesn't, and I got the sense that the greater public isn't aware, and if that's the case, then I wouldn't be opposed. To make an motion to table this item until a future board meeting, so that, you know, because I had asked for, you know, back in, I don't know, November, December, I'd asked for a community meeting, I guess I never made it happen, and so here we are. I'll listen to the rest of my colleagues and where they're at on this, but it wouldn't bother me to postpone or table this item to another time. I think we should have the discussion. I mean, I think that's valuable. I think the public's discussion has been important. I've heard what you've said. And so, anyways, that's where I'm at. I do, you know, I asked the question, is the city of Livingston that unaware of where we are today at this meeting, this time? And you know, I would like for you to answer that in public, because I think it's important for the folks to know.
Happy to do that, Supervisor. There's been a lot of information that's been shared with the city of Livingston, and this predates me as your CEO, I know. Obviously, multiple city managers, multiple or change in the city council. So there has been information that's gone to them. I know our office has provided some information. I know Chief Pimentel, Cal Fire, has been at their meetings where we've been talking about closing the gap, continue to provide services. I know there's information that was being requested from our auditor controller. So to say that, you know, we haven't provided information, I don't think that's accurate. Maybe not the information that they're looking for. But there has been, and Christopher's been right. We've been going back and forth for some time now, ever since he became their interim. So I think there is information that's been provided to them. We've been trying to also keep the other cities informed. I know we met following direction from the board earlier this year, met specifically with the city managers or the interim or acting city managers at that time. So that's been a challenge, to be honest. You know, I've only been here a little over 2 years, and I'm one of the more tenured executives, because there has been turnover on the city ranks. And that's by, you know, it just happens, right? There's transition, there's attrition. And so we're trying our best to just give them information, provide them information, answer questions. So to answer that, yeah, we have provided information to the cities. And Livingston probably a little bit more than the other two, if I can be honest.
I didn't finish.
Go ahead. Let me see. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, so, well, thanks for sharing that. Like I said a moment ago, I believe, and I think I struck a nerve with Mrs. Brewer, but I felt like we were having conversations, right? That was my point. And after today, realizing that maybe we haven't had all the discussions that that I think the public is interested in having. That was what I was trying to get to. I saw you going like this, and I've been there. So, yeah, that's, yeah. No worries.
Thank you. I'll go on to Supervisor Pedroso.
Thank you. You know, when I first found out about 85, the first thing I did was, and that's the McKee, was talk to Pimentel. Actually, he's the one that called me and told me about it, and I wasn't really happy about it, but I wanted to make sure that the employees that worked at 85 and that all of our fire employees were going to be taken care of, and we weren't going to have to cut anybody. And in fact, we were bringing people on, because I truly believe that being 3-0 is really important for the safety of our fire community, for the safety of our public. I think it's really important that we have that, because if one person goes to a fire, they can't even go in until there's backup. And so I think it's really important that we do that. I will say this. I've had multiple conversations with UC Merced about this issue. They are 100% responsible for this. And the reason is they are paying $400,000 for a service that is easily $1 million. They're going out there, 33% of the calls, doesn't sound like a lot, but that's just the first call, first engine call. They're going out there repeatedly. And so when we've had these conversations, the university would never step up to the plate. And all we were trying to do was collaborate with them. And when you collaborate, you have to have two willing partners, right? They did not want to do that. They said that we, because of the state of our construction and how their concrete buildings and their fire suppression, they don't need to do it. I said, well, what about the surrounding community? Well, they don't believe that they should have to pay for the surrounding community, because we can, they're fine with using the station 81, which is the fair, or the Panada station. And I said, okay, well, what's the response time? The response time for 85 is 4 minutes and 26 seconds from McKee to UC. Station 81 is 11. Station 86 is 13.17. I asked the chief at UC Merced specifically, I said, hold your breath for 4 minutes versus 11 minutes and see what happens. And no response. They do not feel as if they want to be willing partners in this. Now, whatever we have to do today doesn't mean that Pimentel is going to stop talking with the city of Merced, doesn't mean he's going to stop talking with the university, but it just means that we have to do something to prepare ourselves to get to that 3-0 factor, because the state is telling us that we have to do that. And I think that it's important that we do that, because of the safety of our public and the safety of our firefighters. Specifically, I talked to a gentleman yesterday who's a firefighter for the city of Merced. And he said, you know, some of these stations that have only one firefighter, it's like working in solitary confinement. I'm serious, because they're there by themselves, go to a call, they have nothing to debrief with, they have nothing, so they just add to the stress. And so it's something that people have to realize, that we have to get to that for the safety of our firefighters. I want to say that I am 100% against the closure of 85. I don't want to close any station. I want to make sure that people are safe. But I do agree with Supervisor Pereira in that if this is something that can be brought back so that we can educate the public a little bit more on the whys behind it, I would be okay with that. But I also know that time is of the essence, because we have to know by June. And so that's something that we would have to put on staff to plan quickly, and so that we can get it out there. I'm prepared to vote no on 85, but I really want to encourage everybody. If you know somebody at UC, they need to be willing partners. And they're not. They do not want to pay for an insurance policy. That's it. That's exactly what it is. And so we have to put way more pressure on them. I talked to UC on Friday and told her that I was going to tell her, say this. She begged me not to. Time's over. Now we need an agreement.
Supervisor Savary, you know?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple other comments is just, you know, I mean, when we heard a lot about the Brown Act today, this is part of the process, is engaging us in these public settings, right? I don't get to make those rules. They were made before I was here. You know, unfortunately, I only get to hear some of my colleagues' opinions on these issues when we're in a board meeting, because that is the rules that are set out for us to follow, right? And I take it seriously. We want to do the people's business in public. So again, I just want to commend everybody for engaging in the public process. That's what this is. Whether you're on the city council or you're on the board of supervisors, that's when you get to engage your public, and you get to hear from them, and you get to hear from all of your sitting elected officials. And not to jump on the UC bandwagon too much, but I share some of the same frustrations as my colleague does. I've been saying it for years. As far as I know, and I'm not going to sit there, I mean, I can barely wrap my head around the county and our budget and our policies, so I'm not going to sit there and represent that I know all of UC Merced's stuff, because I don't at all. But I know they have a public safety budget, and they've been allowed for years to walk in the door without ever having to pay for fire service. They have a public safety budget. I think they probably use it more on their police department and their dispatchers, and they don't pay for fire service. When we talk about the agreement to get them to pay for the additional body, that's been since I've been on the Board of Supervisors. I think that the number should be a lot higher. When you know the UC comes in, and they are the newest university, they're the newest UC in California, they come in and they kind of want to have the same respect as every other UC in California, which I think they deserve. But they don't bring the same things to the table that an established UC Berkeley or UC Davis, or you pick the UC, brings to the table. You know, when was the last time they built a UC? Long before they built UC Merced. And I hate saying this, but the reality says we are a poorer rural county. We don't have the resources as some of these counties do, where some of these UCs sit. And it's not fair to put that on the backs of our citizens. Those universities, any way you cut it, are already being subsidized by the taxpayers to be there. It's not fair to our residents to have to subsidize their fire service. And so I hope that this is a wake-up call to them to come to the table. And, you know, if I'm not opposed to tabling this issue. I know that we have hard decisions that are coming, folks. We have to pass a budget in June. It's unfortunate that the timing, that the federal government is on a different fiscal year than us on when we'll find out about those grants, because I think that helps us a lot if we're able to get that grant and it staves off some of these cuts that are relocations, however you want to cut it. So I'm okay with tabling it, but knowing that if we table this, we can't table this till the end of June. This is something that's going to have to come back to us in a month, and I would be comfortable with that and putting a date certain, pick our meeting in May that we want this to come back to us at, so that we can have further discussions. But I also think if you look at the silver lining, you know, maybe this is what's needed to be able to get our friends in Livingston and the folks at the UC any information that they feel like that they haven't gotten. I stand by that. I think that we have given information. Maybe we just not have given it in a way that they're ready to absorb it. But I would be okay with tabling this. It's you know, it's prolonging the inevitable, because I know we're gonna end up probably back at the same place, because the reality is that I'm gonna go back to my pie reference. There's only so much of the pie to go around. And if I had, if is Vanessa in here, do you know currently what the fire fund budget is? Chief, do you know what that is? Because I mean, we're talking about a $6.9 million increase if we stayed status quo. What is, I'm sorry to put you on the spot on that. I know it's in a budget book and I don't have one in front of me. Because I just want people to realize it's not like we're not spending anything and we're being asked to spend $6.9 million.
Hey, we're out of time for this segment this week. My name's Casey Steed, the voice of your Valley Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM KYOS. We'll see you next week.